Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is ESPN Radio.
Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons with you here on ESPN Radio. You can also watch us on ESPNU and ESPN2. ESPN Radio presented to you by Progressive Insurance. The Pac-12 is down to, what, I think the Pac-4, the Big 12 is what, the Big 16? I can't even keep it all straight, and it's changing so fast. So we've got Arizona State and Utah now joining the Big 12. We've got Oregon and Washington now joining the Big 10. The Pac-12 has completely crumbled at this point, Ian, and it doesn't feel like we're done with this story about conference realignment, even though it has changed so dramatically in the 72 hours since you and I were on together last week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Stanford and Cal ended up bolting to go somewhere else. Right now, there's the big hubbub is that the Pac-4 and the Mountain West may merge. Who knows? You know, Florida State we know is unhappy in the ACC. Behind the scenes, Clemson is unhappy in the ACC because of their media rights distribution, and they want a bigger cut of the pie because they believe they bring more eyeballs to TV sets, which they do. I mean, Wake is not bringing nearly as many people to your TV to boost ratings and watch all the sponsors as Clemson. It's just a fact. So to your point, I mean, look, the music's still playing, you know, and we're going to see who ends up with a seat and who doesn't. But in the moment, I mean, it's sad. I'm a college athletic traditionalist, and especially when it comes to college football. And you've got now the Conference of Champions, all those titles, and basketball and women's hoop and football, all just now it's just part of a footnote in the history of the game. Because the Pac-12 is gone. And this all began with Larry Scott when he was hired coming over from the WTA to be the commissioner of the Pac-12. He stupidly put the championship game in San Francisco, in a city that does not care about college football. He put his home offices with astronomical rent in San Francisco, paid himself a ridiculous salary, took a $3 million bonus. And then a couple of days later, had to lay off, what, like 30 or 40 employees. I mean, the Pac-12 network was epic failure that was done by Larry Scott. 75% of the Pac-12 now being gone is on Larry Scott. The other 25% I do put on George Kliavkoff because he had 2 years to try and fix this. And Bob Bowlesby, former Big 12 commissioner, was the AD at Stanford, the AD at Iowa. He has a unique perspective when it comes to the Big Ten, to Pac-12, and the Big 12. I mean, he saved the Big 12 not once, but twice. Twice. And he'll join us at the bottom half of the hour. Kliavkoff couldn't do it at all, and he had 2 years to do it. So it's sad in the moment, but again, I mentioned this on Friday. I mentioned it earlier today, and it's a fact. When all the dust settles, and we know what the landscape looks like, whether that's next year or 3 years from now, we will get used to it. We've gotten used to Penn State being in the Big Ten, A&M being in the SEC. We'll get used to USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington State being in the Big Ten. We'll get used to the new Big 12. Why? Because we are not just passionate about the game of college football. College football fans are obsessed with it. So once all the dust settles, we'll get used to it. But in the moment, it stinks.
In the moment, it absolutely does stink if you are a Pac-12 fan. A lot of people there blaming Scott. He took over as leader of the Pac-12 back in 2009. That might have started this timeline into where we are now in 2023. I would go back even further than that, Ian, because to me, this isn't just about the failure of Pac-12 leadership. To me, this is about the failure of NCAA leadership. But it's something that we have spoken about time and time and time again. None of this happens, in my opinion, if you have a very strong NCAA. If you have an NCAA that is actually acting as a commissioner, so to speak, for the landscape of college football. And the NCAA has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker at every turn. A lot of that has been a failure in their leadership. A lot of that has been the NCAA being behind the mark in terms of the changing times. You could even go all the way back to, I think it was 1984, when the Supreme Court ruled against the NCAA, finding that at the time, the NCAA versus the Board of Regents of the University of Oklahoma, that was the case in the mid-80s, that at the time said that the NCAA can't have this television rights deal, right? That the NCAA controlling all the TV rights for college sports violates antitrust laws. And it was at that time that then the onus gets put on the schools and the conferences to get their own television rights deals in place. That was sort of the beginning of the end. Because if you weren't going to be able to have an NCAA that can control the money, and the money, what ends up being so many decades later, is all about television and media rights. If the NCAA can't control that money, and it's up to the individual conferences and individual schools to control that money, you are going to have a mess in terms of conference realignment. And that's exactly where we are at 2023.
Yeah, and the NCAA does not control the college football playoff. They have nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
So when you think about that, but it's even bigger than just realignment. Like NIL and the portal are also a big part of this. You know, and Mark Emmert, the former president of the NCAA, I call him direct deposit because that's all he cared about was his, you know, $2 million plus direct deposit. He didn't care about the student athletes. He didn't care about the state of the game. Like when he okayed NIL on the portal, he didn't put any guardrails on it. He says, you want it? All right, go ahead, do it. Do it. Whatever you want to do. Go ahead. Didn't care. He could not have cared less about the what is best for the game. And I'm talking about not just football, but collegiate athletics. And that's why right now, and you brought this up earlier in the show, and I agree. You know, it years ago, I'm talking 5-10 years ago, college football needed a commissioner to keep everything that we're seeing right now from happening. And they are right now more desperate for an overall czar, commissioner, whatever you want to call it, to take over the reins and actually have some guidance when it comes to the future of not just college football, but collegiate athletics. It should happen. It should have happened a long time ago. The game needs a Roger Goodell, an Adam Silver, a Manfred, someone to actually have some kind of direction. And there isn't any right now. It's a rudderless ship, and every conference is doing whatever they believe is best for them, not for what's best for the game. And I don't blame them because they have to take care of their own backyards.
It was Everett in the NCAA that was supposed to be that commissioner, right? But he was so behind the mark when it came to NIL and when it came to the transfer portal. There was such a lack of acknowledgement of where things were going to go. And essentially the legalization of NIL and how it's changed the entire landscape, it's ridiculous that the NCAA didn't see that coming. And instead of working with it, they worked against it for so many years, fought against it for so many years in court, wasted money, wasted resources, and lost all their power because of it. And now you have conferences that are acting as commissioners because there is no unifying body there at the top. Eventually, maybe that problem corrects itself because maybe we only have a power two at the end of the day, right? Or a power three, and maybe those guys end up working together or those gals end up working together. But it is certainly a changing landscape rapidly. And right now, it is the wild, wild west still in terms of name, image, and likeness. In terms of the transfer portal, most people would consider that a bit of a wild, wild west as well. And also, it now feels like the wild, wild west in terms of conference realignment. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons with you. You can find him on social at Ian Fitz, ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. You can also give us a call. That is a good way to join the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN. What are your thoughts here on all of this conference realignment talk? 888-SAY-ESPN. That is, we are going to get to your phone calls. I apologize. I thought I had phone calls to get to immediately, Nuno. Instead, let's get to the words of Anna Marie Cauchy. She is the president of the University of Washington. The Washington is now moving on to the Big Ten. She calls this a very bittersweet moment.
I appreciate the fact that this is a bittersweet moment. The UW was a founding member of the Pac-12. And so even as we're excited about this move to the Big Ten, and we really are excited, we recognize that for many, including me, it is a bittersweet moment.
It is for all of us. I mean, go back to when you remember Warren Moon playing quarterback for the Washington Huskies. You know, all those remarkable games. And, you know, on the basketball court, I mean, John Wooden, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, that's all Pac-12 lore. Now that's just going to be in some record book because the Pac-12 is done. So it's even beyond bittersweet. In the moment right now, it's like vinegar on your football palate or your basketball palate. I mean, it's just it tastes awful. But again, I can't emphasize this enough. And Reese Davis brought this up when he joined us on Friday, Amber. He thinks that we'll get used to this sooner than most people think. And whether it takes, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever it may be, but we will become acclimated to it. We will get used to it because college fans are obsessed with their teams. They're not just passionate about their teams. But in the moment, I'll even go one step further. It's worse than bittersweet. It stinks. I mean, a lot of people are out of jobs, too. A lot of folks forget about that. A lot of people are going to lose their gigs, you know, because the Pac-12 is no longer. So there's a big domino effect when things like this happen. And right now you have people turning in resumes, man, and getting on LinkedIn or whatever it may be because big boy college football struck again. And it's all about the almighty dollar. Oregon and Washington followed the money. The corner schools, Utah, Arizona State, Arizona, Colorado, followed the money because Larry Scott and then George Kliavkov couldn't deliver anywhere close to the amount of money it kept to keep all those schools intact and staying with the Pac-12.
The Pac-12 did end up presenting a media rights deal to the commissioners and the chancellors as part of the Pac-12. I believe it was an Apple deal. It was mostly streaming.
Yep.
The problem for me wasn't the streaming component of this, even though people keep saying that. I vehemently disagree because I think streaming is the direction that everybody will be going in terms of live sporting events. The problem is the money. It was $20 million per year. And so it doesn't matter what medium or how it was delivered.
Big Ten.
That's the thing, is if you just tell somebody, hey, you can have $50 million per year for your program or $20 million per year for your program, there ain't a person who is going to take the 20. That's be terrible, terrible business. And that's the situation that all these university presidents and chancellors found themselves in. So yes, it is absolutely about chasing the dollar. And by the way, it is about chasing the dollar in college football, because this is about college football.
Yeah.
This is about nothing else. And unfortunately, all of those other student athletes that play all of these other sports and all of the people who also coach all of those other sports that are involved in all of those other sports as trainers and everything else, they're kind of getting dragged along for the ride. And that ride is going to consist of traveling across the country when it probably doesn't make any semblance of sense for your schedule. So lots of impacts here all across college sports, even though it is football that we always talk about when we talk about conference realignment, because that's the sport that makes the money. Coming up next, we get to your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN. Plus, two prominent head coaches asked one of the more important questions, what about the athletes that play other sports? We'll get into that conversation next as well.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
So it feels like everyone is on the move in college football, and the numbers attached to these conferences like the Big Ten and the Big 12, they mean absolutely nothing. And the Pac-12 at this point. So lots and lots of changes. We are asking for your phone calls. You can chime into the conversation on conference realignment. 888-SAY-ESPN. That is where we find Barney calling us from Michigan. Hey, Barney, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to know when the presidents of the universities are going to get involved, because these athletic departments, they spend every dime that they take in. They're not a profit center for the university. And, like, for example, the University of Michigan athletic budget is $180 million, and they spend every dime of it. But the university budget is $9 billion. And they, so the athletic department is 5% of the budget. And I just don't understand why these presidents and chancellors can't recognize that all this greed is going to ruin the game, and 10 years from now, obviously we'll still have the game, but it'll be a shambles.
So the university presidents and chancellors are involved. Like, that's who's actually making these decisions, because the ADs work for them, right? I mean, that's my understanding, Ian,
absolutely,
is that these decisions about conference realignment are being made ultimately by the university president and or chancellor, and that he or she in making that decision is looking at the dollars. And that caller's right. Like, we act like the athletic department is the only thing making money at these universities. Of course it's not. You obviously have tuition. You have all sorts of stuff that goes into the budgets of these academic sides of universities as well. But athletic departments are huge moneymakers. And in some schools, like you had referenced Bama there before, like some schools, the entire thing is somewhat being some of those academic buildings are actually being paid for from essentially football revenue. So a university president, if you're especially at one of those schools, is going to be incredibly concerned about who's making what money where. But ultimately, when you're talking about money, even if they spend every dollar of it on their actual athletic department, if every dollar of it is $50 million per year versus $20 million per year, you could understand why these Pac-12 schools are fleeing.
You're spot on, Amber. The presidents and chancellors are the ones making the final call. Mm-hmm. The athletic directors are recommending, but the final decision goes to the president or chancellor and the board of regents. So, Barney, they are involved. And then a lot of schools, because if your football team is successful, your endowment skyrockets.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Texas A&M when Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. Look at the endowment and the donations that came in after that season. Look at what Nick Saban has done in Tuscaloosa. Since he's been there, that has gone from a town to a city. I mean, he's building new history departments and English buildings. I mean, teachers, you know, are making more money. Why? Because of football. He's literally transformed a town into a city. And the one thing that's done that is football. And that's why we're seeing all of this realignment, because the almighty dollar drives it. And if you can make $50 million compared to $20 million if you're Oregon and Washington, what are you going to do? That's like making $20,000 right now and you're in sales. And another company calls you saying, you know what? You'll make $50 with me. Well, what the hell are you going to do? You may love your job. You may love the people you work with. You may love the foundation you've laid there. But if somebody's going to more than double your salary, you're gone. Even if you enjoy where you are immensely, you're still hitting the door.
Money talks, and especially when you are tasked with funding everything that these athletic departments and universities are tasked with funding, right? It's budgeting at the end of the day. It's like running any other type of company, and there's things to pay for. It's the future of your entire program. It's the future of your facilities and everything else. To be clear, when we're talking about Bama, and we're talking about football funding Bama, it's not like football pays for the medical school necessarily, right? It's that it's all affected by the brand of football and the winning of football. So Nick Saban, he does all the winning there in Alabama. There's a lot of kids growing up that are seeing that that now want to go to the University of Alabama. So just that perspective, right? Then the academia goes up because of all the competition in academics, because now it's harder to get into the University of Alabama because more people are applying to the University of Alabama, right? Tuition is going up because of that same effect. And all of the growth around the university as well. More bars, more restaurants, more of everything around it, because you have a winning program that everybody's coming to town to watch. And when you have all of that, more people, even more people who maybe don't care about football, but they care about those sorts of things. What does Tuscaloosa offer me as a student here, even if I'm not here for the football in any way? In effect, you are, right? So it affects every single component of these universities from a financial perspective. That is why these university presidents and chancellors care so much. It's not necessarily that they themselves are huge football fans and that's why they give a darn. It's because it is all at the end of the day about money in the entire economy surrounding your university. And all of that is affected by your program and ultimately by television rights, because that is what funds the future of your program and allows you to have a coaching staff that looks like Nick Saban's in Tuscaloosa. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons here with you on ESPN Radio. You can also watch us on ESPNU. Gene is calling us from North Carolina. Go ahead, Gene. Thanks for the call. Gene?
Hi, so I'm a Rutgers graduate, and you talk about winning programs, but Rutgers has lost between $600 and $800 million since they joined the Big Ten. They will not get out of debt for 25 years because they don't get a full share until 2027. So it's winning football programs are getting all of this, not everyone. Clearly, college football needs to be separated from all the other sports, because I'm pretty sure the softball players at Rutgers don't want to travel to Washington for a softball game. And in 2 years from now, that's what's going to happen. Separate everything. College football should be separate. There should be a czar. They should have their own programs, everything, and allow all of the other sports, including college basketball, to be separate. Rutgers could be playing teams in the Big East. They could be playing teams in the ACC and all other sports except football. Although I have opinions about that that no one else agrees with. Have a good day, folks.
So I don't know about the specifics of what that caller is referencing, because from what I'm reading, Rutgers has projected a $59 million distribution from the Big Ten just for this 2023-2024 season. Obviously, the Big Ten has, you know, secured a multi-billion dollar deal there. And when you're talking about the distributions to these schools, we have seen in the past, Ian, where what you can do is a tiered distribution. And maybe that ends up being the answer in a conference like the ACC, who's now going to be looking at this situation with the Pac-12 and thinking, how can we survive this thing? Is there a means for us to renegotiate either within the conference in terms of the percentage share that everybody is getting from that deal that the ACC is locked into with us here at ESPN until 2036, so the programs like FSU would get more because they're the bigger brand? Or, of course, you could try to renegotiate the deal itself if ESPN had any reason to do that. But the point is that we have seen that the varying percentages within these conferences in terms of the TV rights deals. And yes, that is one of the things that can happen when it comes to television rights. And you can understand why the bigger schools would feel like they should get a bigger slice of the pie. We're not seeing that all across realignment, by the way. Like, that is not at all the case in the SEC. Vanderbilt gets the same amount that Bama gets.
Yep, absolutely. Same as Georgia. Vandy gets the exact same cut. And to your point with the ACC and Florida State and Clemson, Texas and Oklahoma used to get a bigger cut in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. When Daddy the Lost Dodds was the athletic director at Texas, and the great Joe Castiglione is still obviously at Oklahoma, but they got a bigger cut of the pie, and that leads to animosity behind the scenes. So if that is the way that the ACC goes, and a Florida State or a Clemson and a Clemson, right, maybe even a UNC, however they do it, if they end up getting a bigger slice of that pie, I can promise you that is the beginning of the end, because all that does is build animosity behind the scenes, and things start to get heated.
Yeah, that was under the former media rights deal, and yep, that certainly did lead to a lot of discontent within the conference. Coming up next here on ESPNU and ESPN Radio, keep your calls coming. But next, a former Power 5 commissioner is going to join us to share his feelings about college realignment.
This is ESPN Radio.
So college sports is crazy. And at this point, crazy to keep track of as well. Ian Fitzsimmons, Amber Wilson hanging out with you. The Big 12, Ian, is now the Big 16, thanks in part to Arizona State and Utah joining that conference. You've got the Big 10 adding Oregon and Washington. You and I were on air on Friday together on this same show. Arizona at that point had just been added. The Pac-12 was crumbling, and then now a weekend has happened and the Pac-12 feels like it's no more.
It's done. I mean, and I hate it. It's sad in the moment, but that's the way it goes. And the former Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, former athletic director at Iowa, athletic director at Stanford, he has a unique perspective on the Big 10, Pac-12, and the Big 12, joins us now here on ESPN2 and ESPN Radio. And Commissioner, thank you so much for your time, especially on family vacation. How did we get to this point?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Well, the answer is we didn't get here quickly. This has been unfolding over a long period of time. It actually goes back to the Big East and in its first configuration, and some of the Big East schools migrating to the ACC. Subsequently, Rutgers and Maryland left the ACC and went to the Big Ten for largely television subscription related reasons, and the cascading effect has continued since then. I think the only sense you can make is that maybe everyone in the business is numerically challenged because the Big Ten has a lot more than 10 and the Big 12 has 16. So none of us count very well, but that notwithstanding, it's just you used the word sad, and I think it is sad. The sports ecosystem, the collegiate sports ecosystem, is much better and much stronger with the Pac-12 in it. And the time will tell. History is a great judge of whether these will be good decisions or not. Only 12 years ago, Larry Scott was believed to be a savant in terms of putting together the largest TV package in the history of college sports, and now I think he's getting blamed for some things that really weren't his problem. But the demise of the Pac-12 is a sad thing, even though others are benefiting from it.
Former Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsley joining us here. So, Bob, you mentioned it there. Larry Scott getting a lot of the blame, the former commissioner of the Pac-12. He had taken over that conference back in 2009. You said some of that certainly maybe not his fault. What would you say about that? I mean, what should be blamed for the leadership, not just his leadership, but the leadership of the Pac-12 generally, and what was maybe outside their control?
Well, I think the Pac-12 network was never as successful as it was envisioned to be. I was at Stanford at the time it was started, and the decision not to take a network partner in was made in a thoughtful way, and it was believed that we could grow the network, and indeed it didn't grow. In fact, it retracted a bit, and I think there was always the intention to take in a media company partner, but one thing led to another. It looked like a prescient decision at the time, but by the way, it wasn't. Commissioners don't make those decisions by themselves. There were athletic directors involved, there were presidents involved, and those things. Commissioners are given a lot more credit and blame than they deserve because we all work for a board of directors, and it's really those boards that make those decisions, and the commissioners are there to advise them. They do have a fair amount of authority, and they do have a fair amount of influence, but ultimately it's the boards of these organizations that are making these decisions.
Rick Pitino said that he believes every other sport besides football should be under one umbrella and football should separate. You've been around college athletics your entire life. What do you think?
Well, you know, there's always a lot of talk about there being a czar of college football. And my experience over four decades is that university presidents and athletic directors are not going to cede the authority for their biggest money-making sport to any one person. There is always going to be a board of directors. You know, in the end, Roger Goodell, Adam Silver, they work for the owners. So anybody that's you could think of them as the czars of the NBA or the NFL, but they really work for the owners. And the commissioners in the collegiate space are the same way. And so, you know, you can split off football if you like. But federal law, Title IX law, is not going to allow you to operate it as a separate financial entity. So from an institutional perspective, you're still going to have to manage whatever sports you offer on an equitable basis. And you're still going to have to have some elements of an organization at the national level that oversees rules and oversees the various aspects of how competition is conducted. And so, you know, it makes us an easy argument to say, yeah, let's split off football and perhaps then we split off men's basketball. You could offer an opportunity to have a structure like what the USOPC has. They have an overarching umbrella, and then they have a series of national governing bodies that actually run the sports. You could have a national governing body in football and in any other sports you wanted to have. And in some ways, those kinds of things make sense. From an institutional standpoint, it's very difficult because you end up with a different set of rules in each sport, and you end up with affiliations with a whole bunch of organizations, a whole bunch of national governing bodies, if you will. And so, you know, those, for me, those fall into the category of easy answers to hard questions.
Bob Bowlesby, former Big 12 commissioner, joining Ian Fitzsimmons and Amber Wilson here on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. Bob, you called it sad, sad for college football overall, though. And let's assume that football doesn't split off. Let's assume that it's just the realignment that we're seeing right now in real time. Do you think ultimately it's bad for college football?
Well, I think as you aggregate more of the resources in fewer and fewer organizations, I think the SEC and the Big Ten are likely to separate themselves from the field, and to some extent they've done that already by particularly the SEC by competition. I mean, they've been dominant in college football. That isn't to say nobody ever beats them. The Big 12, as an example, I think has a winning record against the SEC over the last 10 years in the bowl games. But you can spin those things in a lot of different ways, but you can't argue with the fact that most of the national championships have resided in the Southeast Conference. Excuse me. So I think what happens is you end up with a lot of money in one location and or two locations or three locations, and the coaches get paid exorbitant amounts. The staffs get paid more than they have in the past. I think there's an investment in facilities at some places that others can't undertake. And so, you know, all of a sudden you end up rendering previously successful programs to be unsuccessful. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that has been overlooked in this. As these organizations get larger, you lose a lot of the traditions that you have had before. As an example, if you have 18 members in a league, you're going to have at least 9 no plays in football. You're going to have maybe a single round robin in basketball. If you have a double round robin by divisions, you're going to, you know, have a lot of people you go years without playing. And that, I think, goes right to the heart of in-stadium attendance and the traditional types of things that we love about college sports. You know, we know we're always going to play our rival every year. And it's possible to orchestrate traditional rivals where a certain group of schools play each other all the time and going to play every year in virtually every sport. But the more you do that, the more you also create long periods of time where you don't play each other. And when I was in the Big Ten, we had 11 members. We decided that we were going to play an 8-game schedule, and Iowa won the tied for the Big Ten championship in 2002, and we didn't play Michigan or Ohio State. Well, you know, it's hard to state that you're the Big Ten champion despite being undefeated in the league when you don't play the two traditional powers in the conference. And so there are going to be lots of rivalries that fall by the wayside and are inactive for periods of time. There are also going to be traditions that just are no longer there. Some of them conference traditions, some of them non-conference traditions. And so ultimately, I think that affects who goes to the stadium and how often they go there. And I think we're migrating to a the NFL is, as an example, has built smaller stadiums and with larger amounts of upscale amenities. And part of that is a recognition that it's largely a sport that's consumed on television. And in the case of college, there are hundreds of games every weekend that are attended on a live basis by alumni and others that support those programs. And so, you know, I think the aggregation of resources into fewer and fewer pockets ultimately will have a negative effect on the how robust college football is.
Bob Bowlesby, former Big 12 commissioner. Thanks, Bob, so much for your time.
Great to be with you. Take care.
Go cook breakfast for all those Bowlesbys on family vacation. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for certainly taking time out of your vacation to talk about this. I don't know if his last answer was what I wanted to hear as a college football fan, but it's the reality of the world that we're living in. So coming up next with Amber Wilson and Ian Fitzsimmons, we're going to react to what you just heard from the former Big 12 commissioner, plus get back to your phone calls on conference realignment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
Ian, you've known Bob for quite some time. What did you think was most interesting about what he just said as it regards conference realignment and everything that we're seeing right now in college sports?
Anybody that's talking about football separating from basketball and the Olympic sports, stop.
Right.
He cleaned that up early, right? I think that was like probably our second question, because Rick Pitino floated it out there, and he said, you know, financially and legally with Title IX, you can't do it right now. So that was number one. And number two, just his passion. He wants what's best for the game. I mean, not just football, but collegiate athletics. And right now, what is happening with everyone gobbling each other up, it's not good for the game. It's not good for the game that the Pac-12 is gone, that it's no longer. That and anybody who says this is about, you know, well, we always have the thoughts of the student-athletes involved. Well, stop calling them student-athletes. They're athletic students. And that's number one. Number two, having all of these basketball players and baseball and softball and track fly across the country nonstop with classes to go to. And I know you've got online options as well, but that is not going to be easy. And that is not going to be very palatable. You know, to the point where Nicole Auerbach, Amber, I don't know if you read her article on The Athletic, she detailed how they are already in discussions in the Big Ten where USC's, let's say, baseball team would fly with UCLA's track team to go play Northwestern in Illinois on the same flight. And their departing flight back to L.A. would be, you know, after whomever plays Northwestern last, because now you're in Chicago and you get to the airport faster. Those are the kinds of obstacles and the things they're talking about right now behind the scenes to try and figure out how to logistically do all of this stuff. But, you know, Bob's wicked smart. He's been around the game for 40 years. Ask him to be the commissioner of college football or the new president of the NCAA, which we actually have a really good one now. He'd turn you down in a heartbeat because it is an absolute mess out there.
It is a mess out there. I think we can all agree on that. Follow-up question, though, about that situation that you just referenced with USC and UCLA. Do those sports, I mean, and maybe this is me just being naive, do those sports fly private? I mean, wouldn't they be on the same flights because they're on commercial flights anyways? Isn't that one of the whole conversations surrounding conference realignment is that these sports outside of football are flying commercial? So just the way you posed it, like them being on the same flight sounded weird. Like now we're sharing a private plane, but they could easily be on the same flight from LAX on a commercial flight, right?
It may not be. Some will be chartered. Some won't. But that's the degree they're having to go to where you will have teams from different schools potentially flying to a region and traveling together in order to make all of this work.
I mean, if that allowed you to charter flights, I actually don't see that as a negative, I guess, was my surprise there a little bit. Like, I'll take that any day of the week if I'm on the track team and now I get to fly private because I'm chartering, pairing up with another school in another sport.
Yeah,
if it's a rivalry school, it seems weird. But in another sport, what does it matter? And if you guys just end up on the same commercial flight, then who cares? I mean, there's all sorts of schools and sports that could be on the same commercial flights. But the logistics of the travel is really what this comes down to for all of these other sports and all of these other athletes. And you always say that it's athletic students because the athlete comes first. I would say that's certainly true in football. It ain't necessarily true in all these other sports. I mean, there's a lot of sports that I think, frankly, the student comes first and the athlete comes second. And I wonder now when it's those athletes that are looking at the landscape of where they're going to go to college, how this is going to affect things moving forward. Because if you're in football, you probably don't care. Right now, you're following more money. You're following maybe even an opportunity for a bigger brand here for your school. But if you're on the track team, the baseball team, the basketball team, it might matter more. Because you're looking at the scheduling and you're looking at, hey, now I have to schlep across the country on a Wednesday and it's a whole different thing. Now I have to be back at school
a day like Friday.
And I got a midterm on Friday. Do I want to be in that situation? Do I want to be doing that? Or if I have multiple offers from multiple schools, would I rather go to the one in a conference that maybe isn't quite as taxing from a geographical and logistical perspective? So there are those things that I think could affect the other sports beyond football, even though this is all about football dollars.
Absolutely.
I do agree with you. And by the way, we will get back to your phone calls on this subject. 888-SAVE-ESPN. I do agree with you. I thought the most interesting thing that Bob Bowlesby said to us was the thing about the Title IX implications and the financial implications if football was to split away. Like, you could only do it in theory, essentially, like football splits away, but it doesn't really mean anything because financially they can't split away because of all the Title IX laws. And it makes sense. Of course you couldn't under the federal laws. So there only would be in theory split away, and then that's stupid. Why would you ever do that? So this idea of football splitting away from these other sports, like, it ain't happening.
Yeah, he shot that down in a hurry.
Yeah, that was the thing I took away. And then the other big takeaway for me And if you missed that interview, you can always check out the podcast on the ESPN app. The other big takeaway was when he said that universities and chancellors aren't into the idea of one, you know, czar of college sports.
Yeah,
and
that was number two.
And yeah. Right, and that's what I've always thought as well. Why would they relinquish that power? Like, what would be the advantage to them to relinquish the power
thing,
they right now have?
Want is a completely different thing.
Right. And they need it. Oh, I think we could all agree they need it. This would look a lot less messy.
Absolutely.
If there was some unifying body or if the NCAA was actually powerful like it once was. But wanting and needing are two very different things, and people never want to give up power.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.